This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, it's a Friday, so we're going to wine. Actually, we're going to talk about wine because it's Oregon Wine Month. And Allie Rogers, the new executive director of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers, is in. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
We've had her in a couple of times recently, just ahead of Greatest of the Grape. I guess we'll start there. How did that go last Saturday?
It was fantastic. We had, 253 people turn out. We were raising money for Sleep in Heavenly Peace, a local nonprofit, and we did a great job for them. People enjoyed the wines. We had over, 19 wineries there pouring wines, and a lot of the winemakers were there. So people got to schmooze and, really get in depth there. It was great.
You know, that event is the longest, I believe, continuously, other than COVID, running a wine event in Oregon. Locations have shifted, ways of doing it have shifted periodically over the years. But, I mean, it's a historic event, really.
Yeah. This was the 51st Greatest of the Grape. And it was, it was wonderful. It's been different with COVID, trying to kind of reimagine things. And a lot of people said, I loved going when it was at Seven Feathers Resort. It'd be ideal to get it back there at some point. But, different challenges. And we just try to, keep up and keep keeping on.
But to do one of the major events of the year for the organization, and oh, by the way, you'd been working there for a few weeks.
It was brand new to me, and I didn't have experience of having attended in the previous years. Our group, our board, all the wineries are so friendly, so welcoming. Melrose Vineyards that hosted the event was fantastic. So it felt very comfortable.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, the first time I went to one, and people had been telling me and encouraging me to try to come and all of that. And eventually we decided to do it. And I just walked in and went, because it was, now my diet was different then. So I probably overconsumed food more than I, enjoyed the wine in some ways. But it was, just a chance to walk around, talk to all these people in one place. Some of the vineyards that first year I was very familiar with, some I really wasn't. And so it was really, a chance to learn a lot, but have a lot of fun at the same time.
Yeah. And as you know, the wineries and vineyards are pretty spread out over Douglas County. So it's a great opportunity to hit a bunch at one time and to be able to compare them side by side. Because unless you're buying a bunch of bottles and have a bunch of friends over, you don't usually get to drink all of those wines in the same day.
Well, and to have a sip of Pinot from, one place and then have a sip from another, you can compare and see what you like, what's different. And that's always kind of fun.
Yes, absolutely.
So the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers, talk about that organization now that you're the executive director, and I'm sure that you've learned everything about it in the past 4 weeks while you've been planning a major event as well. But what can you tell us that you've learned so far?
Yeah, so, we're an organization that supports the wineries of Douglas County. So we have over 30 wineries and vineyards that are members. We're a nonprofit organization. So we just try to promote events, promote the wines of those member wineries. And what I've found is that besides having some of the nicest people in the working at the nicest wineries around, is that, we have a lot of winemakers that are the ones running the business. They're the ones that were there at Greatest of the Grape pouring for you. They're the ones, if you go in on a Thursday or a Saturday, they're the ones that will be pouring the wine for you in their tasting rooms. And these are people that have so much passion for what they're doing. It might be a second career, which is the case a lot in the wine industry. You retire from something and want to do something completely different. And I've always loved wine, so let's try our hand at starting a winemaker or a winery. We're just lucky to be in a valley with a lot of humble people that are just passionate about wine, and it's a small business and they're trying to make it work.
And like anything else, the last few years have had a lot of different challenges between the pandemic and all of that. There was points there where under the way Oregon did things, it was only, you know, you couldn't taste, you could just pick it up. And not, you know, that impacted things. Now, there was the fact that when the pandemic started, the next month, wine sales went up in Oregon nearly 50%. That's probably a different topic and may tie to other things, mental health issues. But you've got around the Umpqua Valley, you mentioned the second career aspect, and that's one of the things that I found fascinating. First of all, getting into this business is not cheap. You know, and so mm-hmm. some people have gotten to the point of doing whatever else they've done where they now can do that and buy property and buy equipment and go from there. It's interesting, too. You know, you've got multiple people who have ended up in this area because of the diversity of the climate. And as I began to learn about this a number of years ago, that was the part that it took me a while to really understand. But the fact that you can grow so many different varietals here makes us, I am told, one of the most unique wine regions really in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we within the Umpqua Valley AVA or appellation, we also include a couple of sub appellations. So the Elkton, Oregon area, based in Elkton, you can grow great Pinot Noir and cooler climate varieties there that you wouldn't necessarily find as much where Abacella is, kind of in the southern part of the Umpqua Valley. So the breadth, the hundred valleys that we all love living here, but also the terroir, if you will. I think I say that every time I talk to you.
You're just trying to sound cool.
But, you know, the different soil
that's
types.
One of those phrases, if you say it wrong, you really, it doesn't work.
It's a terror if
yeah,
you say
that's
it wrong.
A whole different broadcast.
But, you know, we've got the topography, we've got the climate to grow, just a huge variety. So we're so grateful for that. And the wineries are taking advantage of it and trying, you know, different grapes. We have Russell Winery, who pioneered Gruner Veltliner. And then you have Abacella Winery, who pioneered Tempranillo. And then Richard Summers at what is now Hillcrest, who pioneered Pinot Noir. The earliest plantings of Pinot Noir in all of Oregon started here in the Umpqua Valley.
In spite of the fact that people in California said, you can't grow that up there.
Exactly. We said, well, we'll try it, and ha, it worked.
Well, and even in Abacella's case, because Dr. Earl Jones had looked all over the place, and they say this in a positive way, he is really a geeky scientist. You know, he poured through data. As I got to know him, it was just amazing the detail that he went to and actually hired someone to fly him around. And before he found, it's like, that's it right there. That's it. And that's where they are. And within 5 years, they were winning awards and beating folks in Spain.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and if you're going to take it seriously, the business that you're about to start, you want to do as much as research as possible to find those great grape growing sites. And there's still, spoiler alert, there's still a bunch of them left around here. They might be forested, but I think we're going to see a lot of growth, a lot more people that say, oh, wow, the land's a lot cheaper here in the Umpqua Valley than it is in Napa or Sonoma. But still, I don't feel that we're going to get too big that we'll lose our sense of community that we have here as well. So optimistic, but not overly.
Well, and Stephen Russell even said, you know, he was originally, I think he was real close to buying property around Napa somewhere, that greater region anyway. And kind of stumbled across where he ended up being now and just looked at the price and realized that he had a lot more potential because it was going to be very small down there.
Yeah.
And you could do a lot more. So that is a factor. You also have folks, it's sort of the second angle of growing grapes around here is places that opt to have a vineyard here and then that wine is actually going elsewhere. You've mm-hmm. got folks up in the Willamette Valley that have purchased property down here. You've got folks in other areas that have gotten property as well. And so that's, I mean, it's a kind of a second aspect of it. You're not going to see, those grapes at a winery around here, but you may find them later in a bottle that's coming from somewhere else.
Yeah. And not every winery has their own vineyards. For a lot of wineries, that's something that you work up towards. But if you want to start small, if someone's interested, a lot of wineries, their first few years, unless they buy a property that has grapes on the property, you buy grapes from someone else, make them into wine, see if you're any good at it, and then after a few years when that wine is ready, start selling it, and then start making money. And if things go well, then you can buy some grapes and kind of get all the production aspects under your own umbrella. But in the beginning, a lot of people just buy grapes and still do that.
All right, more when we come back. Allie Rogers, Executive Director of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Umpqua Valley Live later at 4. We're going to have some live music from the old-time fiddlers. They are in town, the state convention going on, so that'll occupy the first segment of the program. And we have other arts and entertainment things to talk about this afternoon. But right now we're talking wine in the Umpqua. Allie Rogers, Executive Director of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association. One of the things you are doing now, and it's kind of a shift, and it's fascinating to watch, is essentially taking the story of the Umpqua on the road. Now, for many years, there was the barrel tour. A lot of people came here. And suddenly, during COVID, the idea of throwing 50 people on a bus and driving around with them all day didn't seem to work out so well. Maybe that'll come back again, because my wife and I certainly had fun being, we were tour guides for that for several years. We really liked doing that. And, but that had to shift. And so now you're essentially going out to these people. I know you're going to Bend soon, right?
Yes, just at the beginning of next month, we'll be taking the Umpqua Valley to Bend. We have a specific event at Tethero Resort, that's Sunday, June 4th, where we will have a bunch of our wineries pouring their wines. Again, you'll find a lot of winemakers there, which, you know, the Bend area will be pleasantly surprised with. But there will be wine, hors d'oeuvres, and people get to keep the glass if they want to take it home with them. We're actually having an early bird special for tickets right now. If people are interested in heading over to Bend or telling their friends about it, they can buy tickets on our website for the event, which is called Taste of Umpqua in Bend. And the ticket code is EARLYBIRD55. And our website, you should probably know that, too. It's umpquavalleywineries.org.
Well, it sounds like a really good move. I mean, the barrel tour, I mean, every year we had people from California, Washington, all over Oregon that came on that. Some people came every year. But to really, you know, just hit Bend, you know, and take an area that is more known for beer, frankly, and probably an area not suited to growing wine in a lot of areas. That sounds like a cool idea.
Yeah, they're trying to grow wine over there, so we'll see. But in the meantime, and there's actually a lot of, as many of us know, ex-Californians living in Bend that are used to big, bold Napa wines and are very serious wine consumers. So we're hoping to appeal to them, too. And, hey, we're only a few hours away. If they want to take a wine trip, here we are.
So how did you get into wine? What's your background?
So my father collected wine and kind of, you know, turned me on to that. I won't say at an early age, at a legal drinking age.
Of course.
But then when he retired, he moved back to his home of Walla Walla, Washington, over in Eastern Washington. And he started a winery. That was his retirement. So he's one of those stories. But it was a small winery. I think 300 cases is what they made the first year. So not much wine. And I said, Dad, that's so cool. I love wine. I'll be right up there. And I didn't know at the time that for red wines, a lot of times they have to sit in the barrel for a couple years. So a few years later, he said, okay, Allie, we're finally ready for you. Come sell our wine. So moved up there and got involved in the wine industry. That was around, 2003, 2004 or 2005.
Wow. Yeah. So you've been in it ever since?
About 20 years. Yeah.
and done other things as well?
Yeah, a few stints, you know, hiking in New Zealand for a bit, living in Australia for a year, waiting tables at a fancy restaurant called TGI Fridays, and then also working in accounting as well, which as a small business owner at a winery, which our family was, it's fun to wear all those hats. And I see that here in the Umpqua Valley as well. You know, you're not just the winemaker, you're also the accountant. You do the compliance work, and you are the tasting room manager on the weekends. So it got to keep it real.
Do you have a favorite varietal?
So it probably depends on the weather and, of course, what we're eating. But if we're just going to have a glass of wine, you know, in the winter, I prefer to go red. You know, a little heavier as well to kind of warm me up. But in the summer, man, like sparkling wine or some Albarinos, Gruners, Sauvignon Blanc. I prefer wines that kind of are crisp, have good acidity. So, you know, it depends, but there's only a few to choose from.
Talk about the aspect of pairing food with wine.
Yeah, so the adage that people have always heard is still true. White wine with fish and red wine with meat. And that's kind of because of the weight of the wine. White wines are a little lighter and they would go better with something lighter like fish. And the opposite is true for red and meat. So that's the body of wine. But also you have to keep in mind fat and acidity, and those go well together. So if you have a really rich dish with an oily sauce, a wine with good acidity is going to pair well with that. Also, fun fact, popcorn and sparkling wine. Who knew?
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, you talked about, you know, white and red, but I mean, I don't think one of your roles is probably going door to door as the wine police saying, "No, excuse me, sir, you have red wine there. You need to put that away."
True. And the most important thing is to drink what you like. Wine does not have to be pretentious. It does not have to be snobby. If you like a wine and it's a sweet wine, that's great. And the harder part is trying to describe what you like about the wine. But you know, that can be fun as well. So just drink what you love, and that's okay.
And even at sort of a consumer level of learning this, when special meals come along periodically and with not having kids at home and all that, that kind of has shifted things. But, you know, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, once I find out what we're having or what we're getting, you know, I kind of go out and it's like, okay, and just, you know, stare at one of the wine cases and think through, you know, what I know, which is pretty limited, but I just look at that and then see whether it really works or not.
And one of my favorite things to do is kind of cheat a little bit. So I like to outsource my pairing to one of our awesome wine shops in the area. So we have the Secret Wine Society in Oakland. If people haven't been there, super cool place. And then downtown Roseburg has the Wine Destination. Those are both operated by the owners that are super knowledgeable about wine. So they can tell you what to pair with the wines. And they have a huge variety of price points. So if you only want a $15 bottle of wine, you can find that. That's okay. If you want to go super fancy, trying to impress someone, you can do that too. So I like to ask them because they know those wines and they're also foodies as well.
Well, and you know, like in holidays, that's where I you know, Christmas, I think, was a $35 bottle of wine. That is not something I'm going to do every night.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got, you know, huge variety even at the wineries too. So it's awesome.
So a minute or so left. What's your vision for the future of this area?
So, you know, we'll see where it goes. We just want to work on supporting our current wineries, getting locals out to those wineries. If they have friends coming in town to visit, you know, bring people to the wineries, help support your local wine industry. Grapes have been around the area since 1880. So we're one of the oldest kind of agricultural industries here. And it's just a fun, friendly industry, too.
So what other things, now we're getting into summertime, and of course, wine gets paired at a lot of you know, community events. People will see wineries out at different concert series and things like that. So it's an opportunity for the winemakers to really get out there, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, and little plug for Oregon Wine Month, which is going on for the month of May. There's actually a few contests at OregonWine.org. You can win a free weekend getaway to one of four different wine regions. So check that out, too.
Yeah, Oregon Wine Month. And what's the website to do that?
OregonWine.org. wine.org.
And if people want to find out more about some of these upcoming events with wine growers, how do they get connected with you, you or your office?
Yeah, so we have our website, which is umpquavalleywineries.org. And from there, you can find our events. You can also link to our Instagram and Facebook pages, and that'll keep you really updated with what's going on locally and at other wineries around here as well.
Allie Rogers, Executive Director of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers, Oregon Wine Month. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle. Cheers.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.